Hello, everybody. I'm Logan, and this is Team Talk on the Toe Meets Leather podcast. I'm here today with Pat Sandor. How are you doing today, Pat?
I'm doing great.
So, why don't you go ahead and get people acquainted with your involvement with the Alabama program?
Okay. I was on the campus from 1975 to 1982, and I did an undergraduate degree in the science area and a graduate degree in communications. And I have spent my career as a professional communicator representing a number of different corporations. At this time, I'm representing the Home Depot as an online social media associate. So I think that the time that I spent on the campus has paid me good dividends in my career, and I think the learning that I received there has been invaluable each step of the way as I've gone through life.
Clearly, Alabama has a very large value as an educational program, but why don't you tell us more about your involvement as a fan? I know you were there during the Bear Bryant years, and that made a large impact on you.
Certainly. I mean, I think anybody that was a student of the Bear knows that he brought an air of class and dignity to his program. Any of the clips that you ever see of him talking up his team, you know, he talks about, I know you have class and we're going to see it on the field. And, you know, he also brought an air of sportsmanship, which I think has really played out in our program over the generations. I don't think Bear would ever stand for misconduct by his players. And I think that in those who have followed him, including Saban at this time, I think that the focus is on being good sportsmen and playing a fair game and putting your best foot forward.
I think that those are good expectations to have coming from a coach who the Coach of the Year trophy is currently named after. So I know you are a large fan and you've had plenty of experiences on the campus and have continued to be involved with the campus and its traditions after graduation. Why don't you tell us more about the Alabama fan base? I know they're a very rabid fan base, highly energetic, and they're very driven. They want to see their team succeed. Tell us more about what makes them unique.
Well, I do think that the tradition of the university, things like going and seeing Denny Chimes on the campus and seeing all the footprints of the captains of the football team that go back into history, I think that those things make it unique. I think being able for the program to have such notoriety that they can repeatedly be at the top of the college football rankings, that they can also recruit the top players in the nation year after year after year, I think it makes it an exciting part of being a fan of the program. It makes you proud to be a part of something that is successful. And I think there's never a doubt that when our teams, not just the football team, but the swim team, the tennis team, the golf team, all of the teams, when they walk onto the field of play, the expectation is that they're going to walk away with a win. They're going to perform at a very high level, and they're going to be coached at a very high level. You know, they opened the Pavilion of Champions on the campus right behind the baseball field in front of Memorial Coliseum. And it was amazing to me. I attended the ceremony, and it was amazing to me to walk around and see all the championships etched into marble. You know, it's a history that's probably unmatched in sports, I think.
I believe that's part of the draw for a lot of fans there. I know that Alabama is one of the programs that is, let us say, famed for having many fans who didn't necessarily graduate from the university. But at the same time, the way the campus has developed and the way the city has developed, it's become more of a, it's more commonplace to see people from throughout the state come by and just for the events that you're speaking of, all the sporting activities.
Well, so, you know, I think that's right. I think that you do see a draw, not just, there are people from all over the country, honestly, that travel into Tuscaloosa every weekend for a football game, or that come there for, you know, whatever the sporting event is. I'll use another example. When I was on the campus, our swim coach and our dive coach were both the Olympic coaches for that period in time. And I stood in the natatorium and watched Jonty Skinner from South Africa set the 50-meter world record in the freestyle. And it was incredible to have athletes from South Africa and all over the world attending the university campus. I think success is a real draw.
It's very hard to argue. There has been a lot of success at Alabama. So as we were talking about earlier, the campus has really developed because of that success. For people who are unfamiliar with the campus, would you care to describe what the campus is like and what people should see if they are coming to look at the campus?
You know that when I was in school there, you could have thought of it as a small, country town almost. It wasn't really that large a city. I think the population 30 years ago was probably 52 or 55,000. The area is probably more like 100,000 local residents now. But when the campus was enrolled, there were an additional 17,000 students at that time. Today, there's over 33,000 students enrolled. And the campus has enlarged by almost double in size. They've increased the beautiful dorms that are on the campus. They've built a whole new engineering quad where it has its own select set of buildings that are all brand new for the engineering schools. I just think that the main quad is still the centerpiece of the whole thing. When you come off the interstate, you drive through a small business section of town, and you come down to the campus, and then you take University Boulevard, and it runs straight down the center of campus. Bear Bryant Boulevard is an angle road off to the side, and you follow it down and you go past the football practice field, and you go past the natatorium, the Bear Bryant Museum, and you come to the stadium. And the stadium itself has become a mecca. When I was in school, the stadium seated 52,000, 54,000 people. Today it seats 102,000 people. And the games I've attended most recently, I just look at that as such a huge increase. It's doubled in size in 30 years, but not just doubled in size. They've got jumbotrons in all four corners. You can see the field from any seat in the house. They've got these great overhead pavilions for the corporate and other contributors to the university. It's just really a great place to view a game. And the noise level, I don't know if it equals some of the other popular Southeast Conference venues, but I do think that when the fans are into the game, it's almost deafening when they really get into a roar on a great play or some other big event.
Well, I do find that unique about your stadium. A lot of the other stadiums that I've been to in college football in general, there seems to be a theme. At Clemson, they want to encompass you and kind of envelop you. At Georgia Tech, it's all traditional, rustic, brings back the thoughts of back in the primetime days. But like you said, Alabama is very much, I think, of a church or a large pantheon, and that's very much what it is. It's a representation of all the success that Alabama has had over the years.
Oh, I could say that the fans are definitely rabid enough that they go there to worship the Crimson Tide. I think there's no question in my mind that Alabama Stadium is clearly one of the meccas of the football world right now. It's certainly not the largest stadium, but the way that it's put together, it is absolutely an incredible place to go and see a game. You get to see the sunset off in the distance, and a brilliant red sunset in the fall overlooking a lush green turf that you can see from absolutely every corner of the stadium. I really love going there.
And I would like to say on the other note, what I've always liked about the campus is, even though it has grown quite a lot, it's still got a very small-time feel. You can walk to all the locations. Everything that you could possibly need is all within walking distance. They've got the downtown section is away from the campus, so it's all separated. It does cause a bit of an issue on game day. Traveling does get a little more difficult, but that's just like any other campus, I would imagine.
Well, it has all the amenities of any small city, all rolled into the university. They've got the Rose Administration Building right in the center of campus, and the President's Mansion has been a landmark next door, which faces Denny Chimes. what a beautiful building in and of itself. And they have functions on the lawn where they have the University Jazz Ensemble play on the front porch of this large antebellum-looking home with spiral staircases and it's just a beautiful, beautiful setting. Denny Chimes is absolutely another landmark. I mentioned it earlier, but if you live anywhere near the campus and when you're attending classes, for sure, you hear Denny Chimes ring out the hours of the day. It plays the fight song. You know, you get those kinds of feelings when you go back onto the campus and you hear all that. You know, today the Quad is covered every weekend that there's a game in town, you know, with tailgaters. And it's really grown to an enormous party. It was a party back then, but it was a small town party. Today, it's quite a bit more, even though it's a lot traditional, it's quite a bit more metropolitan. People are out there with their you know, their tents and their generators, and they put the big screen TVs up, and they make fabulous food. They're not just serving, you know, marshmallows on a stick. They're making fancy feasts out there on the lawn.
Like you said, it is quite an event. If you've ever seen something, if you've ever been to Alabama on a game day, it's a completely different experience. I would like to go ahead and go into some of the more famous traditions that you've talked a lot about. Denny Chimes. What exactly is Denny Chimes?
Denny Chimes is a landmark. It's named after Denny, the same Denny that Bryant Denny Stadium is named after. So, you know, Denny Chimes has at one time it had a mechanical chime. Today it's all electronic, but it still rings out the bells of the chimes and rings out the songs that everyone who's on the campus, anything from Hey Alabama through, you know, just about the Stars Fell on Alabama, popular songs. And it's the centerpiece at the front of what they call the Quad, which is about a 1 acre lush green grass square. On the opposite side of that square is the main library. You know, one of the traditions before a game is that they have a gathering of the band, the cheerleaders, the color guard, and they have a pep rally. They call it the Elephant Stomp, and they conduct this pep rally, and they sing the fight songs, they play the fight songs, and then the band and the cheerleaders gather on the street beside the library, and they march into the stadium doing the Elephant Stomp.
So you've talked a lot about the Elephant Stomp, and I've heard from a lot of fans that are very confused about why Alabama even has an elephant as a mascot, since there are no elephants in Alabama that I know of. I know that you have you know the stories behind both of the Tide's nicknames, the Crimson Tide and the Al the Elephant, the mascot, and I know you have a direct relationship with Al that kind of has an interesting story behind it. Would you care to go into that?
Sure. On the in the history of the program, the players were given red blazers at one point in time to wear when they exited the bus or exited the plane and on their way to the stadium for a game. And at one point, an announcer said, looking at the size of the players getting off the bus, said, "Here come the red elephants," referring to the players in their red blazers. And so the elephant has become kind of a symbol, if you will, after that comment was made for the Crimson Tide. And they actually reinstated the mascot elephant, Big Al, while I was in school. And they had tryouts for the first Big Al. And so I had the opportunity, with the help of one of my high school classmates who was also on the campus, to try out. And of course, you know, tryouts for something like being the first Big Al, it's pretty competitive. There were a lot of people that wanted that role. So we prepared and went out and did our presentation. You know, I didn't make it, but I will never be sorry that I did, that I went out and tried. I just think that being a part of the campus, being a part of the university, it's all about giving your best effort. And I went out and did the best I could. So I smile every time I see Big Al, the big head and his trunk and his big ears. And I think it's also something that a lot of families, you know, when Big Al is around the university, people want to have their children have their pictures made with Big Al. He's just become a symbol for the university. But it all dates back to those red blazers and the comment from that broadcaster saying, "Here come the red elephants."
Now, I know Alabama's got quite a few rivalries in the SEC West, especially with how strong they've been competitively over the past, let's say, 5 years or so, that if you can make an argument for the whole decade. But are there any rivalries that you'd like to talk about specifically? What makes you, I guess, the University of Alabama unique compared to some of these other schools?
Well, first and foremost, I think that Alabama sits as a pinnacle. If you, in your imagination, when people think about being a competitive program, and they think of the Crimson Tide immediately as one of those groups that's always there and always competitive. And so it's a natural that almost everyone that plays Alabama wants to beat them. And usually I think that other teams, regardless of what level of performance they give the rest of the year, I think they play on a higher plane typically when they try to take on Alabama. So every team is a rival from the biggest to the smallest. But certainly the in-state rivals, Auburn, is without any doubt the largest and most competitive. But I've always thought of Florida as being a true competitor for Alabama as well. I think that their fans are pretty much a class act, a lot like Alabama fans. I think that their defenses are always quite good, and their offenses at points in history have been phenomenal, have even been pace-setting at the point that Spurrier ran the program. I think they were extremely competitive offensively, you know. So I think of several of those programs as being competitive. But when you think about the SEC West, the Mississippi States of the world can beat you any time you play them. You know, now that we have Texas A&M in the West, that's a team that can beat you any time that you play them. Ole Miss has had a very strong program, and they're probably at their peak right now. You know, the hottie totties of the world are out there really yelling it up for their team, and they deserve to have good teams. They've got great coaches, and they've worked hard. I think that, you know, maybe Alabama has been the role model for these other teams, a lot of these teams, to pull themselves up. A lot of the coaches that have come through the Alabama program end up running these other successful programs or playing some role in them. Clemson's coach right now is a former Alabama player, you know, and their program definitely has improved under his leadership.
There's obviously a lot of ties in there. I think it's definitely a case of success breeds success when you look into something like that. And I don't know about the entirety of that statement, but I will say that when you have a team like Alabama who dominates year in and year out, it definitely makes competition around them much stronger to try and overcome that difficulty. Now speaking of the teams, I think Alabama has high expectations every year, not just in football, but in all their programs. Obviously, they had a bit of a struggle out of the gate this year in football, but I think you're still expecting to finish strong. Do you have any expectations for the team in football and any other programs going forward this year?
You know, I think a lot of people think that mainstream Alabama fans are obnoxious sometimes about their successes, and I don't really think that's totally true. I think that my expectations for the team are a lot like the coach's expectations for the team. I expect the players to go out and be the very best they can be. I heard Nick Saban say today in a great win over Georgia that they set a high level of expectation, and normal people wouldn't be able to meet those goals. So he's saying to his players, you know, guys, we're setting a goal that's extremely high, and you're going to have to reach for the – you're very talented, but even you as a talented group are going to have to reach to attain that goal. And they did do that today, and I think that's the reason. Setting the higher expectations, not setting mediocre expectations, but setting expectations to be the best every time you go out, and not accept, performances which include fumbling away the football. You know, we had that earlier this season where we gave the game away to Ole Miss. Probably that we gave them 21 points and we lost by just a handful of points. That was a game where we didn't live up to our expectations. And honestly, like any fan, those losses hurt, and it stings to be, have the expectation to live up that high. But the other side of that is, every time you go out that you have a high expectation. You also know that there's no such thing as perfection. So winning almost all of the games every year, winning 10 or 11 games a year, is what I expect as a fan. On years when we have 10 wins and a couple of losses, I think of that as a mediocre year for us.
So would you say that expectations are to win the remainder of the games this year and go to the SEC championship, or perhaps make it into the playoff?
My personal expectation is that we will lose to LSU. And I think that LSU has an incredible team this year. But when I sit down and look at, what teams have the talent to play on the field, I think that LSU, I hate to be that blunt and just jump out there with a loss to LSU, but I really do think that our team is going to have to play at a very high level to get on top of that. I'm also thinking that, we're going to have a tough game against Mississippi State. And I think that Texas A&M is going to be a great challenge. But you brought it up into the conversation earlier. You mentioned the SEC West. I don't think there's another half conference in the U.S. or even a full conference anywhere in the U.S. that is any more competitive than that particular group. So every time we play one of those teams, it's like running the gauntlet from here to the end of the season. We have one little break with a slightly lesser team. But for the remainder of this season, the 2015 season, we're going to have our hands full every weekend on the field.
All right. And do you have any expectations in other sports? I know a few years ago you were champions in five sports, including golf, gymnastics, tennis. Do you have any expectations for those sports?
I really love our track and field program. I love our baseball program. They have a great history. The softball program, I think the women's softball can win it any year, and I think they're just that good. You know what? I love what happened with our coach in the softball. He actually was recruited to go to LSU. He got on the plane and flew out there, and when he got there, he realized that he had made a mistake, and he called back and asked the athletic director if he could come back, and they took him back, and since that time, they've been competitive. They won the national championship once, and they've been in the national championship game several times. And I just think that there's this draw. They say, Mama called me home. The Bear said that about the university. And, I just think that that's really the feeling you get when you're on the campus. You're a nuclear group of successful people who expect to live their lives that way. It's not just the athletics, but in my career, I outperform most of my peers because of the expectations that I got from my time at the university. And I don't measure myself necessarily against my peers, but I do think the expectation of excellence has become a part of me as a result of being on the campus.
Well, that's a good thing to get from your school and from your campus, and I think it's a good message that they're sending you with. Well, thank you for joining me today, Pat. Do you have any shout-outs you'd like to make before we leave out?
Well, I always like to say Roll Tide to Grandpa and, to all the family members in Alabama and Georgia. I want to tell the coaches they're doing a phenomenal job, and thanks especially to the student-athletes. Yeah, I know how hard they work while they're in their time on the campus, and I really appreciate them carrying on the traditions of excellence that in all of the athletic programs. It's exciting for me as a fan and an alum to look back and see all of those successes line up year after year after year. So I just say, Roll Tide.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. That was Team Talk on the Toe Meets Leather podcast. If you'd be interested in joining us, please send an email to toemeetsleather@gmail.com. Again, that is toemeetsleather@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you later in the future.